T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Pedro Martinez is nice enough to join us here. We'll get a headset on.
Beauty in the house.
Crowd didn't cheer for Lou there. They weren't cheering Lou. They were cheering for Pedro Martinez.
I think they liked your rant you just went on. That's what they were
cheering
for. They
liked my big rant about Jose Altuve.
Yes, exactly.
Wearing something. Pedro Martinez here at Win a Weekend, everybody. All right, let's start it off. Do you want to break some news? Are you the new manager of the Boston Red Sox?
No, I'm not.
Aw, damn it.
Oh, man, it's so long. 162 games. Plus the extra hours that you have to put in to talk about players and meetings and all that. That's a little bit too long.
Get a weekly radio hit with Marloni.
Oh, yeah, you come on every week.
Every week with him.
You can be the pitching coach. You know, just do more there. Beautiful.
It's the same.
Yeah, no,
it's the same. Being the pitching coach and being the manager is pretty much the same duties.
So I got to ask you. I saw you on Twitter talking, because obviously we're talking a lot about what's going on in the game of baseball. And I think it was Carlos Pena who was talking about. I was just talking about what pitching is. Mm-hmm. You know, your stuff was so good, you could probably sit there, and maybe a couple times you did. You know, he said, here comes a fastball, I'll hit you. But there's a reason why you threw your changeup when you did. There's a reason why the breaking ball, the cutter, took a little off, or moved the ball around a little bit, because you're trying to keep them off balance. Huge advantage, if that is the case, of hitters kind of knowing what's coming, even for a guy like you, facing a guy like you.
You know what? That's the mentality you have. You have to keep them off balance. You have to make them aware that you're going to go in at any point so that they don't get, you know, to lean over and reach two pitches that you pretend to get them out. And that's the mentality we should have. Now, if I was to figure out that someone was tipping signs or relaying signs, and I had it a couple of times where I felt like someone was relaying signs, and I just went straight over. Step off, got close to second, and said, hey, you keep tipping?
Did you ask him to hold it?
Hold this for me? I told him, you're going to hold it.
Now, for everybody out there, when Petey says, hold this for me, he throws the ball and he wants him to hold it right around here, right around the rib section. Kind of hold it. Hold it right
hold
here.
Hold it.
I'm going to throw it, and I'm going to basically hit you in the ribs.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, you got to keep a guy honest.
Yeah. What was your feeling when you saw the report come out, the commissioner's report? About just not only about the Astros, but about baseball in general.
You know what? I'm not surprised. First of all, I must say it. I'm not surprised. When you bring in analytics and you bring in technology and you bring in new people, new brains, new mentalities, you're going to have new things happen. I mean, everything is evolving. And when baseball started moving cameras to different angles to actually have the replay come into place and get the better views of the plays, it was expected that something was going to happen. You can see it in launch angles. They can see the angles on the bat better because of the positioning of the cameras. You can see that the analytics can see different things and analyze different things. And once you have all those things come in and join what the essence of baseball and what we had in baseball, you have to expect that new things are going to happen, because the people that invented the cameras and the angles and how to slow down the swings and slow down the rotation of the ball and read the spin of the ball, those guys are ahead of most of us. And they're going to come up with different things to figure out different things. And signs are obviously a lot slower than the spin of the ball. So it's going to come with
all those analytics. Now you rely on a trash can, though, hitting on a trash can. I mean, like, this is you're right, though, Pedro. I think that this is inevitable, and it was going so far down this road, and I don't know if you agree or not, that it was going to continue to keep going down this road if not for this.
You know, the kind of punishment I'm seeing from the commissioner is saying we are not going to accept anything like that to happen. He's trying to pretty much cut the problem at the roots. And that's why we're seeing such a severity in the penalties that we're seeing. But at the same time, you know, it will continue to happen one way or the other. If we continue to change baseball and add different things, technology and analytics and all that, it's going to continue to happen. There are so many brains that we have in baseball, so many new kids that know how to handle computers, yeah. cameras, technology, that, I mean, it's impossible to stop them. Some of those kids are just great. They leave Harvard or MIT, and they don't even get their degrees sometimes. The Apple creator didn't even get the degrees,
yeah.
and he was able to do so many things. So imagine the new brains that are coming out of Harvard and MIT and getting a job in baseball to do different things.
I kind of compared what this was to, you know, the steroid era, yeah. and that the pitchers are like the clean players who played in that era, and they're like, enough. We need to clean this up. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to make a living. You know, you're trying to make a living. This is getting out of control. And I just feel like it's very, very similar in that the people who are doing it the right way, they just want to play by the same rules. That's all.
But you know what? Stealing signs and all that, it's been around forever.
Right, it's how they do it.
How you do it, how you hide it is the most important thing. It was part of baseball to actually be at second and relay a sign to a guy that wanted to know. Some guys didn't want to know
right.
because sometimes they get more aggressive than they should and they swing a bad pitches or whatever. But it's been around, except that if you bring the technology into the game like you're bringing, you know, they're talking about instead of umpire robots to call the game, a strike zone by computers and all that. It's gonna get to a point where someone is gonna be ahead of someone else, and, yeah. and they're gonna jump ahead, and before you realize, it's gonna be 1 or 2 years, and that's what happened. I think that's exactly what happened. Some of those guys figured out a way to beat you, and pick your signs. And we weren't, you know, ahead of the pack like they were.
Well, that being said, Pedro Martinez joining us. Curt Schilling came out and said he thinks, based on the report that came out Monday, the Astros won the World Series because of this. Do you view their championship a couple years ago, Pedro, differently now? Is that a tainted title that the Astros acquired?
You know what? You have to look at the talent they have, too. They have a lot of talent. Whether they did it or not, whether they did the cheating or not, or it's tainted or not. I mean, I pitched in the steroid era.
Yeah.
And for me, if it wasn't because I did it clean and I was able to overcome what the steroid era was doing, I don't think I'll be perceived by the people with so much respect like I do. You know, to be honest, the way I face my era is the way I wanted it. I wanted to face the best. I wanted to face the toughest. And I wanted to overcome all those adversities. And I did that. So today I can hang my head on my pillow and say, I'm proud of the way I did it. And I'm happy about the way I did it. If they don't feel that way, even though I still believe in the talent that the Houston Astros have, I'm not going to say that because I gave up a homer to whoever uses steroids, that because he was on the steroids, that's why he got me. I think I made a mistake, because when I didn't make a mistake, the results came over to my side.
At the height of it, though, when the steroid stuff was really kicking and you weren't using and you were dominating, but somebody hit a home run, at the height of it, did you get mad? Was there instances of getting mad at individuals or mad at teams saying, listen, I know you're cheating here, and you beat me today, and it just doesn't – you're taking the high road now, but when you're in the middle of it, did you feel like, oh, man, this no. I should not have to go through
no,
this?
No, I always said there's no crying in baseball. For me, I was very unique. I when I got frustrated and I felt like you disrespected me, I'll drill you, and I'll take the consequences later. And Lou had to go and get me out of the pile a couple of times. But at the same time, you know what? In the steroid era, which was almost completely the entire time I pitched in the big leagues, I was able to dominate people that were on steroids and people that were not, because I prepared myself to not only face those guys in the steroid era. I didn't know that many people were using the steroids, but once I found out that they were using the steroids and I was clean, I mean, I my chest was hanging high, because I said, you know, you were cheating, and I was clean, and I was able to do that to you. Well, I must have been well prepared for all that.
So you see these guys last year, throughout the year, in spring training. There is so much paranoia. I feel like there's too much. They're worrying about too much stuff. Obviously, this is part of it, right? I mean, see the hats. You watch the games. Guy pulls the hats down. They're changing sequences. It's how would you feel about pitching in this era where there's things other than what you really should be focused on and getting that guy out?
You know what? I was so disappointed. Every time I see someone ahead in the count and you don't know that you just have to kind of keep a guy honest or blow away a pitch, waste a pitch to then come and make a quality pitch somewhere else. It's disappointing because it's lack of preparation, what they're showing. When you have to go to a hat, you're not ready mentally to do what you're supposed to do. You have 5 days to prepare yourself physically, mentally, and if you wanna say analytically, you could do that.
Yeah.
And then take it into the game. That's when you prepare, before you go into the game. When you go to the game, you just repeat what you practice during the entire season, during the 5 days that you have before you pitch. If you prepare yourself, you should know who you're facing, what you should do ahead or behind the count. If you have to reverse the count on a guy, all those things you do, but in between outings. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do it on top of the mound. Oh, let me go to my hat and see what Gary Sanchez is going to call. No. There's no way. I need to be prepared. I need to know what team I'm facing, what kind of lineup I'm going to be facing, and what I need to do against each individual in the lineup.
So you're putting a lot of the accountability on the pitchers, Pedro. So I'm curious, are you upset that Mike Fiers put his name to this? He was the name that came forward and started with all this. Do you feel like he did the right thing? Because it sounds like you're preaching accountability and fight through it, and no matter what they're doing, you can be better than them. So do you have a problem with Fiers being eventually the whistleblower to start this entire investigation?
You know what? If he was to do it when he was playing for the Houston Astros, I would say Mike Fiers has guts. But to go and do it after you leave the Houston Astros because they don't have you anymore, that doesn't show me anything. I mean, you're just a bad teammate. You're just a bad teammate.
But he's standing up for other pitchers in baseball because he's now with the other pitchers. Page. That's the point. He's trying to help the other pitchers now.
If he was dominant like Gerrit Cole, if he was dominant like Justin Verlander or someone like that, Clayton Kershaw, I don't think he'll be saying anything. He'll be like standing up like I am doing right here and saying, it doesn't matter what you do. If I execute my plan, I'm going to get you out, regardless of what sign they relate to you. Good pitches are not hit. Mediocre pitching is the one that gets hit. And
even if somebody knows what's coming?
Even if you know it's coming, I can throw BP to you. And if I hit the block away at 95, you're going to have a hard time hitting it. If I say I'm going in on you and I keep it 3 to 4 inches in on you, the best thing you could do with a fastball, that's middle in. Middle in, not precisely like middle of the plate, but middle in. At 97, 98, you have to react so fast that all you can do is pull it foul. When you get it in, you have to pull it foul. It's never fair. And if you execute away 2 inches or 3 inches where the umpires get confused, Lou, and you know that, and you go, God damn, I saw it a little bit away. Well, guess what? Take frame it, boom, it looks so good, it's a strike. It's called a strike. So when you execute your pitches, you don't get hit. When you have mediocre pitching, when you make a mistake, that's when the hitters make a
mistake. But let me ask you this. Do you think is it good for the game to clean this thing up?
Because then it is.
But then you can look back to saving Fiers. You might not personally have agreed, but what he did has maybe helped the game move forward.
And where does he stand when it comes? If you tell me that Mike Fiers is coming to my team, mm-hmm. And you already threw your team under the bus, the team that you used to play
you
for.
You think the A's, his teammates with Oakland, don't like what he did? I know it, Houston. I mean, we know that.
Well, now everybody's going to know that you have a whistleblower in any other situation, too. Whatever happens in the clubhouse, it stays in the clubhouse. And Fiers broke the rules. I mean, I agree with cleaning up the game. I agree with the fact that the commissioner is taking a hard hand on this. But at the same time, players should not be the ones dropping the whistleblower.
So if you're in the middle of it, like you talked about, he should have done it. If he's going to do it, he should have done it when he was playing for Houston.
Yeah.
And you're in the middle of something that's you know is wrong and you know is negatively impacting the game. then how difficult is it in that to be in the middle of it and say, hey, I just want to – MLB, by the way, come over here. I just want to tell you, we're doing this.
If you have integrity, you find ways to tell everybody in the clubhouse, hey, we might get in trouble for this. I don't want to be part of this. You call your GM. You tell them, or you call anybody that you can or MLB or someone and say, I don't want to be part of this. Or you tell the team, get me out of here. I don't want to be part of this. And then you show me something. But if you leave Houston, and most likely you didn't agree with Houston when you left it, and then you go and drop the entire team under the bus, I don't trust you. I won't trust you because we did have that rule. Whatever went across the border.
Did you ever have that, not to say that same situation, but when you guys were playing, did you have the thing that said?
Well,
say,
when we were playing, it was a steroid era.
I was going to say, didn't guys play with the players who used steroids and didn't say anything because they were on their team? They want to air them out?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you know, I guess back then, though, amphetamines, greenies were fine. Like, I took them. And they were legal, you know. We used, and that's the thing. That's taken baseball for years and years and years. So until those were illegal, but the steroids was different. But that's the thing. You never sat there and just said, yeah, these are my teammates at the end of the year. This guy, I suspect. We didn't do that, obviously. Some guys, but.
I mean, there was nothing, when you guys were playing, there was nothing electronically. There was nothing that you could use electronically.
Videos. I could. I watch videos. And
no,
I
bet you couldn't use it to, like, people weren't using the videos to help
you
them.
You didn't have, like, iPads they have in the dugout.
No. I prepared myself in between outings to actually see what I wanted to do against certain hitters. Like, I would spend hours with Billy Broadbent in the back watching the lineup for Toronto, for the Yankees, for anybody that I hadn't faced lately. The Seattle Mariners. I watch every video. I watch someone that was very similar to me facing that team and take whatever he did positively to actually use it in my game. You know, I'll compare matchups. Whenever I saw Roger Clemens on 97, 98 blowing fastball by Gene Segura, I would just say, oh, okay, I got 97, 98. I'm pretty sure I can blow that fastball. By whoever.
But see, that's the same thing. Like you said, Billy Brown with the video guy back then. I used to do the same thing because when I had plenty of time. So, like, to get ready to play because it was once a week. Right? So they'd be like, you got the lefty or whatever. So I would go, but I wouldn't watch how the lefty threw to Nomar or Manny. I'd watch him how he threw to, like, Mike Benjamin, right?
Exactly.
Or Lemke or someone, whatever. Someone, a little Punch and Judy guy who's hitting eighth and ninth. But it was actually tape cassettes, too. You know, I mean, it was old school, man. I mean, it was, but that was it. You know, that was it. And even during the game, we would watch. But what's going on now, I don't know if they're doing what they're doing. They clean it up. They'll clean it up because it's, you know, you want the guys to go out there at least playing on an even playing field.
Well,
like the
steroids. The guys got suspended here, Pedro. Guys lost their jobs, including Alex Cora and Carlos Beltran. Do they get jobs back in baseball again? Should they be allowed to based on, you know, what you read in that report? Guys like Cora and Beltran who were loved by the players they played with, and guys who played here in Boston loved playing for Alex Cora.
You know what? Alex took accountability for what he did. He thought that it was better for him to go away from the team to actually not distract the team. Alex hasn't been handed any suspensions or whatever. Not yet. I'm pretty sure he's going to get it.
Yeah.
What they are doing to Carlos Beltran, I don't find it fair. I don't find it fair. Carlos Beltran was a player at the time those things happened. It's totally unfair to sanction Carlos or take him away from a job because of what he did as a player. If I was in the dugout, Louis, and you knew that, and I could pick up the sequence against you, against Manny, against David, and I saw what they were intending to do with David and Manny, I would say just stay aware of the breaking ball with men on. This guy's going to flip a breaking ball to you with a man on. Why? Because I did it. Because I knew how to pitch. Because I understood sequences.
Well, it's how you would pitch.
And so if I was able to pick up that, I would relate that to my teammates. And what Carlos did, he did as a player. It's totally unfair to take away his job based on the fact that he was involved in in understanding the signs or whatever, or how people were tipping. It's unfair. He was a player. He doesn't need to be sanctioned as a manager because of what he did as a player.
I think
and if that's the case, all of you should be sanctioned. All of the players that went to second and related sign to every other teammate should be sanctioned.
Yeah, you know, and that's because they said it was player driven. We talk about the players got off, but one player didn't. Only one player was mentioned, and that was Beltran. So Beltran walking away from the Mets is sort of like Alex here in Boston. Like, listen, I can't, with it all surrounding me, I can't deal with it.
But you know why they
never
do that.
I could never manage. But
you know what?
The union.
Can I tell you something?
They mentioned players union. No longer in the players union.
Can I tell you something? I thought Carlos Beltran, a lot of the things he knows about picking up on the guy, moving the glove, moving this and moving that. I know those things. I know when someone tips. I am a pitcher. I know when you're not precisely in the same position. I was really good at keeping my same approach, same positioning, not moving. Moving the fastball to the changeup on the way over so that I didn't tip. And a lot of us don't have the command to do that.
You think anybody had you? Because I know a
guy
that told me that he had you.
Yeah.
Robbie
Alomar.
He's very good at it.
Bobby Abreu. Yeah. Bobby Abreu got me. Who else? I think it was Teixeira and Chase Utley. They had me. Chase Utley was a thief.
Chase Utley is another level.
Another level. And I mean, those are guys that were able to relate whatever they knew to other people. And I did the same thing as a pitcher. I said, Carlos, look, when the guy does this, it's a fastball. When he does that, it's a breaking ball. And those are things that you look for as hitters, as pitchers. We are in the dugout just looking for little things to feed off.
Johan.
Hey, Louis. Hey, he's going to throw you a fastball. In this count, he gets down there, and that's a fastball. We did that. So if they are going to sanction Carlos Beltran for being a player and relaying what he knew, and that's exactly why they brought him over, because he was a veteran that could probably influence some of the guys to learn more about the game and learn how to get an advantage on the opposition, well, then every other player should be sanctioned that actually related a sign from second, from first. Why do you think the Steelers are still on breaking balls? Because they see the sign and they pick it up. They pick up when there's a breaking ball coming. And so the Steelers take off on the breaking ball.
Yeah,
it's a slower pitch. It's most likely going to bounce. So they steal on those pitches. Because they see it. They can see it. They pick up. And that's why the catchers are always hiding. Because they pick up the signs.
See, and it's not the players would have been fine, I think, playing for Hinch or Cora or Beltran. It's the perception of it. It's the organizations having to sell their fan base, Pedro, on here's the manager. Oh, here's 11 pages. Because I think the players would have been fine with these guys, right?
Well, no. Well, it's what Rob said, though. That Nicolos is no longer in the players' union. So when they started talking about the illegal things that Houston did, not the legal ones, you know, like you said, hey, man, look for this, look for that. Some of those illegal things, banging the drums. For some reason, yeah, they did. They included Carlos's name in that report. You know, they didn't just the coaches. He's the only player in that report because he's no longer a player.
I just mean
I'm just saying if Beltran is going to get fired, where's Altuve? Where's all these other guys?
I agree with
you. They kept the players out of
it. But I'm saying the current Red Sox team, the Mets team, and the Astros players would have been fine with those three guys. They didn't get fired. They didn't lose their jobs because they couldn't lead the players anymore. They couldn't lead the organizations because of what they were tied to.
I'll tell you what, though. I told you there's no crying in baseball, right? Houston, powerhouse, a stealing sign team, right? Looking at all kinds of analytics and statistics or whatever, and videos and whatever, stealing videos. Who won the World Series?
Nationals.
Where did they win all four games?
Yeah, Houston.
In Houston. Yeah.
Enough of excuses. Yeah. Enough of excuses. If you won, you won. If you lost, you lost. There's no crying in baseball. And it's okay. I'm not condoning bad things and bad people stealing videos or stealing signs or using technology. But at the same time, enough of excuses. Houston went into the Nationals and beat them three times, right? Mm-hmm. The Nationals came back to Houston and beat them four times in their own house, where they're supposed to be relaying signs and relaying videos. There's no excuses. If there's execution, that's what you need, execution. And that's what the Nationals were able to do. execute, and beat the heck out of Houston. That's what you need. And why? Because they couldn't execute those pitches. And whenever they made those mistakes, the Nationals made them pay.
Hey, you know what I was thinking before we let you go here? Baseball's kind of – they brought this opener thing back. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think? An inning or two?
Oh, no.
You know, you can.
Oh, no, Louie.
Oh, you don't got to go eight anymore. You can just go an inning or two.
You know what, Louie?
One time through the order.
Louie, I was always – unless I came in relief as an emergency, which was the only way I would come in relief, I've been a little disappointed because when you see, like, an opener, one or two innings, and that's it, it was the starting pitcher, it was embarrassing to me to go out there for five innings. It was really embarrassing, and you saw it.
Yeah.
When Chris Corrente and everybody would tell me, oh, Pedro, you just went five and dive?
Five and dive.
Oh, boy, I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep that night. When I went five innings and say I won the game, to me it was like, take it away. I was embarrassed to go five innings. Imagine now with the opener. Oh, the opener.
The highlight.
Come on now.
Now, Pedro, one quick thing about this year's team. The highlight of Winter Weekend up until this point, up until this interview, was Joe Kelly a few years ago predicting that he was going to win the Cy Young. I'm going to give you the opportunity to predict for Eduardo Rodriguez. Is he going to win a Cy Young?
Oh.
You know what? He should. Mm. He should. But there are so many other guys that are, you know, on perfect position to also win it. You know, I expect Chris Sale to have an outstanding year. Why? He got hurt. Didn't pitch as much. You know Chris Sale is going to be in the talk if he stays healthy the entire season. When he got hurt, it was unfortunate, but Chris Sale was showing that he could pitch well when he got hurt, and he was going to keep the same track. When you watch Chris Sale pitch and you watch David Price totally healthy, they're going to be in the bubble.
Yeah.
You watch those guys, and those guys, neither one pitch an entire season.
I think if they're healthy, people believe that they'll still be good.
I believe.
But the question is the health.
Well, I believe Chris Sale is going to come back healthy, and he's going to have an outstanding year. And I predict Eduardo is going to have another outstanding year because Eduardo now realizes what he needs to do. He has already endured the entire season and the 200-plus innings that he needs to win the Cy Young. And he was really close. He was right there. ERA a little high or whatever. And he didn't quite understand what he needed to do. But this year, he comes with a fresh mind, with a mindset that understands what to do to endure the 200 innings and the 33 outing plateau. I expect him to have a great season. And to me, if it's not Chris Sale, Eduardo is going to be really close to a Cy Young type of season. Even though, you know, you have to always think Gerrit Cole over there in New York and those guys like that are going
to
be in the
hunt. Now you got to walk up to him and apologize for telling everybody he's going to win the Cy Young.
To who?
E-Rod. Some expectations.
No. I think he has a very legit chance to win the Cy Young. But I have to always consider guys like Chris Sale, Corey Kluber being healthy, going to Texas. I think he's going to have another outstanding season. Those are guys that I always keep an eye on.
Yeah. All right, you're not going to be manager in 2020. How about Jason Varitek? Could he manage?
Very good chance.
Very good chance
that Tech could be a manager.
We have
a few guys that could probably become the managers. Ron Renick is right there. Tech could be a manager. Carlos Febles, believe it or not, could be a manager. It all depends on how we view what we need to do. There's a lot of meetings between us that a lot of minds coming together. How are we going to put together what our players need to feel comfortable and feel like they can trust the program that we have for the next season? So we're going to meet. We're going to see what the closest to the right thing for the team. And hopefully we'll be able to keep that balance that we have with the team. The good communication, the good loving that they have in the clubhouse, the good camaraderie that they have in the clubhouse, and the trust that they have in the clubhouse. That's the most important thing, that the players can trust what we're intending to do with them and what we want them to do during the season.
All right,
Pedro Martinez, everybody. Pedro, thanks, man, as always.
Oh, pleasure.
Love talking to Pedro Martinez here.
Buddy.
We are at the Mass Mutual Center. Winter weekend. We'll skip the trending. We'll come back. We'll talk to you. We are live Winter Weekend. Mutt Bradford and Maloney.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.